Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and your money is going to move. We're going to help you make better financial decisions. We're going to call out the BS you're finding all over social media. We're going to give you actionable guidance to make your financial life clearer, less stressful. We're going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen to Money Moves with Jill Schlesinger wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, Mavs fans. Welcome to Pod Maverick. This is just going to be happy hour because I'm drinking. Josh probably isn't. Welcome. Josh, how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I think what we decided that Mondays were going to be the days that we try to talk during the off season and do these shows, and we didn't need to come up with show notes for this one.
Pretty good. But what do you think? It was like 10 o'clock this morning when the news broke.
Yep.
Sham Sharania, once again, kind of second time in a row, really with like Mavs adjacent news, come through with the hiring of former Toronto Raptors head of basketball operations, Masai Ujiri. The Mavericks are hiring him to be in a similar role. And if there's one thing, like, you know, you and I have day jobs, and I think as we've grown older, we have simply decided that most shit doesn't call for an emergency podcast, which I was just getting hit up all day. When are you guys going to record? Which I love when people ask me that. It makes me happy that people want to hear our thoughts. We actually really benefited from not going immediately because as the day has progressed, we have learned more about the hire. We've had time to sort of formulate our opinions. And, you know, right before about 45 minutes ago, Mark Stein put out a piece that indicated that Masai will be hiring a general manager. Currently, the Mavericks have two interim general managers. They did not have a president of basketball operations. Honestly, to me, and I'm going to be curious to hear Josh's thoughts on this, some of this, you know, stuff about titles kind of annoys me, but I do like hearing that there is a chain of command, because one thing that drove me nuts under Mark Cuban's tenure prior to the hiring of Nico Harrison was the front office structure was whoever Mark Cuban liked at the moment, and that became problematic towards the end. So what do you think about, first, let's start off with the basics. Like, what do you think about what we know about the news? Before we get into the analysis, like, what is your sort of takeaway on what we know about the structure of the Mavericks front office right now?
Do you want my thoughts on just them hiring him, or do you want to go just on? Sorry, now I'm trying to think.
It's okay. So we can just dip right into it. I'm thinking about this from a couple of ways because I'll walk my way through this process and how I felt about it. My initial reaction to this hiring was tepid. Shout out to my friend Josh McSwag, who is like Kirk, you wouldn't have liked anyone who they hired, which I think we'll get into more later because it's a fair assessment. But I was tepid because there's knowing what the Mavericks want, which was out in the ether, which was a name, and what I think. Those two things rarely match up. It's okay. We're allowed to have differing basketball opinions. But as the day has gone on, I have found myself in a place of, okay, why not with this? Understanding what Patrick Dumont wanted, which was essentially he wanted to hire someone to get out of the way. He thought he had that in Nico Harrison, only Nico Harrison submarined the fucking business. And now hiring an executive like Masai Ujiri allows Dumont and Adelson to go away. which is something we talked about wanting for like a really long time, regardless of owner. So I have to at least cop with what I had wanted was, you know, a new name, somebody to chase down, like given an opportunity. We got a, you know, young core opportunity with Cooper Flagg and whoever they draft in this year's draft. But that, I understand why that's not possible given what's going on in with the Mavericks. So I think my initial reaction has gone from very tepid to all right. You know, I'm okay with it, but I want to dip into it deeper. What's your takeaway?
Well, first off, I think it's outstanding that the Mavericks continually bring in people that you're like,
it's very funny.
Like that you don't like a lot, like not to say you don't like Masai, but like this is goes back to before. Like I remember, you know, when they were hiring, you know, when Donnie Nelson got fired, even before that, like
I didn't want Kid or Nico. I was like very against that. Turned out,
I know, but right. I don't even think you really wanted Masai back then either. Like you, this isn't just a recent opinion because, you know, post 2019, which we're going to get into, his track record isn't great. So it's just funny. Like Harrison Barnes, Kyrie, some of it's worked out, some of it hasn't, but it makes everyone think, oh, well, Kirk just hates anyone who the Mavs get. And it's like, no, he actually likes a lot of players and a lot of people. The Mavericks just are threading that needle and finding like the 10 guys every year that he doesn't like.
It's very funny. I just
think it's funny.
I was right about Luka before just about everyone else, so I get to be a dick about that until the end of time. But the fact is, this one is, it's okay. And yeah, I'm
healthy skepticism.
Well, we learned before, like learning just before we go on air, that he's president of basketball operations, which is more than just general manager. And like, I'm part of my concern was that like Ujiri's been out of the game for over a year, and you know, Riccardi and some of these other guys have been on the ground, like scouting guys. Like, I just, the idea of somebody parachuting in and making a draft pick, like, it just makes me uncomfortable. Like, that doesn't sound like that's what's going to happen. So like, that was kind of my initial overarching concern, even though Ujiri has a really pretty good track record of draft pick stuff. So anyway, keep going with your initial assessment.
Yeah, I think it's healthy. It's healthy skepticism. I don't blame anyone for being terribly like super excited about it. Like, he is a big name. I feel kind of silly that we didn't think about this guy, them hiring him before, when we knew that, like,
it's a good point.
When we knew that Dumont had that big wish list, and it was like, well, they're not going to hire Bob Myers, they're not going to lure away Tim Connelly. Yeah, I didn't even think like he should have been number one with a bullet when you think about the type of name that Dumont wanted to hire. So that's part of it. The other part is, yeah, healthy skepticism, because his resume, like, he's been in basketball ops for a long time now. He's got a long resume. I would say about half of it is stupendous, and the other half of it kind of stinks. His post 2019 track record is bad. And I think it's okay for Mavs fans. You can be excited and still admit that, like, what he has done as a basketball executive since he won the title with the Raptors in 2019 is not very good. And in my brain, 2019 doesn't feel that long ago. That's 7 years. Like, it's almost a decade.
Dirk's longest contract.
The NBA changes a lot in just a year, and it's been 7 years. So my first thought is, can he still build a good basketball team in the year 2026? Because he hasn't been able to do it in 7 years, really. So that's kind of the first step. But on the other hand of it, all the other stuff that people are saying in terms of praising this hire makes sense. The respectability, bringing back to the org, the accountability, structurally, culture, all that stuff. Honestly, like, if he doesn't make a good basketball decision in the next 3 years, having him just bring accountability and respectability and structure back to the organization is probably worth it alone. Even if he gets fired in 3 years because the team, let's say the Mavericks don't make the playoffs with Cooper Flagg in the next 3 years and he gets fired or whatever, like, it's probably worth it just to have a cultural organizational reset and get an adult in the room and hire someone with some big boy pants that can be like, hey, I've done this job. Let's do it this way. Let's get this back on track. Let's rein it in. Let's hire smarter people to do some of these jobs. Cause it's more than just the basketball decisions. Like, I feel pretty confident that Nico Harrison isn't going to hire freaking Dr. Nick as the Mavericks head athletic trainer. Like you think about what the turmoil the Mavericks front office and the basketball ops side has gone through over the last 24 to 36 months. If all Masai does is bring some stability to that side of it, honestly, that's probably worth it alone. And then I think there's healthy skepticism for the rest of it, because up until 2019, he was as on fire as any basketball exec can be. And since then, I mean, he's made like two notable positive basketball moves. Like we'll get into it. We can get into his track record since 2019, but so I the big question is, does he still have the juice to build a good basketball team in 2026 when he hasn't done it in 7 years?
That's what was important to me, is does he still have the juice? Does any person running this still have the juice? Because this is a full-time thing. You hit on something which is very important, and Josh McSwain, I hope you hear this and understand my skepticism. So much of my frustration about like hearing about the professionalism and bringing back such and such culture means that it's a concession that they had to make, that the professionalism and the other bullshit that happened the last few years was bad. I'm glad they made that concession, but I'm also like fucking furious that all the shit happened. And you're in the finals less than 700 days ago. That just irks me. And so I need to get over that, but it is part of where my initial disdain comes from.
They're cleaning up a mess that there shouldn't have even been a mess.
That's right.
What pisses you off.
And a lot of the PR language coming out of the Mavericks and from Dumont is a little bit of a mea culpa, saying, okay, all right, I fucked up. I get it. And I need to, like, when somebody admits they fucked up, meaning you fired Nico Harrison, part of me needs to accept the apology. There's a lot of Mavs fans that frankly never will. And that is where some of this comes from. But, you know, as the day wore on and you learn a little more, you analyze a little more, you understand the framework from which Dallas was moving from and to, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. There's a there's just an air of the adult in the room element of this, even though I certainly think Riccardi and Finley are adults. It's not at all what I mean. I just there's an element of this where you can say, okay, like this guy is here now. Let's see. One thing I don't want to hear, I don't want to hear Rick Welts' name. Like, it was all in Stein's article, and I'm just like, the guy, the CEO, yay. I just don't care. Stop putting Rick Welts upon me. Basketball Hall of Famer Rick Welts.
Yeah, I understand, but I know your dream was to get they were never going to do it. You know, you wanted them to hire like the number two of some exec and try to find their own Sam Presti, like pluck someone out that's a grinder basket and that's ready to take the reins. And I know that's kind of the guy you wanted, but they were never going to do that.
The Mavs Slack asked, would I be happy with what the Chicago Bulls hire did? And it's a great question. And to LCDO_MN in the chat says, you know, it's a, some media members, he essentially says some media members, fans, whatnot, will always have a critique. I think that is accurate. That is who I am. I might not have been happy with that.
Kind of part of the job too. Like, we can't.
We're
not here to wipe your butts. But
there's an element when people criticize me and it's accurate, I want to at least say you're not wrong. So
I'm not wrong, but that's also kind of part of it.
Me being a shit about this stuff sort of comes with the territory, because, again, Dirk Nowitzki, Luka Doncic, Cooper Flagg, one title. So I'm sorry. They fucked up a lot. And they still end up being born on third base. That's just part of it. So it's like, we're in a really interesting spot now. If the Mavericks happen to move up in the lottery, the tenor of what I say will drastically change, because right now I'm cautiously optimistic, and if they happen to do anything in the lottery, I will be like, you know, just basically sprockets up, up, up. Like, we're going to be really excited. So
Yeah. I mean, it's an exciting hire. I mean, he's probably, you know, he's a big name. And I mean, like, seriously, like, he was, like, I don't know how many fans were there. Cause I mean, 7 years was a long time ago. I mean, they're, if there are fans that are, might be watching this podcast, they're 25. So 7 years ago, they're 18, and they're probably, maybe they're not paying attention to stuff as much. But like, when he was in Denver and he won executive year in 2013, and then like those first, you know, those years in Toronto, I mean, he was the name. Like, he was the, like, you think about the way people talk about Sam Presti now and like Brad Stevens.
It's true.
Like, he was that guy. He was that name. And he was always in rumor, like the Knick, like the every year it was like, are the Knicks going to lure him away? Like, he was the big free, like, he was the big name, executive name every year that like the big is some big, like, is the Knicks going to lure him away from Toronto, or who's going to steal him away from Denver? Like, he was that guy. And he was thought of as one of the top basketball minds working in a front office for a very long time.
Yep.
So like, again, I can't deny anyone for being excited, and the track record is like, he was very good at building Denver into something, and building Denver and Toronto, like, organizations that don't hand you everything, you know, kind of, that's important. I remember you know, like the Kawhi trade, you know, some, you could say like, oh, well, you know, Kawhi kind of felt like, I don't think Kawhi fell in his lap. Like, that was a bold trade to trade for, like, he knew when he traded for Kawhi, that was a rental. He was not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, the fact that he traded DeMar DeRozan, a staple of that franchise, to be like, no, this is what we need to get over the hump. I don't know how many GMs would have made that trade. Like, that was a ballsy trade that worked out exactly as best as you could, knowing that, you know, there's not a million, there's no way he's going to resign. So like, he made that trade knowing Kawhi was a rental, and it worked out. I think the thing is like, we got, you know, post 2019 happened. A lot of bad transactions happened under his watch, like messing up OG and Anobi trade. You know,
let's pause there because we're at about the halfway point. I want to go through that stuff in a second. Okay. Guys, we have to insert some ads here. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Thank you so much for listening during the off season. We know you have your choice in Dallas Mavericks podcasts. Lord knows there are many, many of us. Appreciate you supporting. You can do so by listening to the ads. You can do so by subscribing to the channel. You can do so by telling your friends. And if you are feeling extraordinarily generous, there are some links in the show notes. I'm going to insert those ads right now, and Josh and I will be right back to kind of talk about Masai's tenure and what we think about, like, what the kind of questions I have moving forward, we have moving forward. So we'll be right back.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Okay, thank you so much for waiting. Podcasting scheduling this week. I'm going to try to host it's called a Mavs party, since we have a president of basketball operations now on Wednesday. So you can bring your chat.
It happened before the lottery.
That's right, it did. They did exactly in the timing. We talked last Monday. We said we're pretty sure something's happening in the darkness. Mark Stein reported yesterday that nothing was happening, only for something to happen today. Sometimes that happens. And then so we're gonna do a Mavs party on Wednesday. Thursday, I will be hosting. Actually, I don't know if I'll be producing a mock draft again. We're gonna do another one before the lottery. We did one the other day. We had a lot of fun with it. Brian, who's there in the chat, will be a part. Anybody else in the staff that wants to do it, we'll probably just assign draft order, let people pick who they think is what, you know, probably do something. We'll essentially do maybe like a chalk run with what the lottery odds are right now before the lottery, which happens on Mother's Day at 2 p.m. Fuck the NBA for that one. And then as far as what we're doing with the draft lottery reaction pod, Josh probably won't be able to make it. I'll host something that Sunday, but we are actually transferring podcast servers. So I'm going to have to get something up by early afternoon, which I'm going to be difficult to do because my son has a baseball game also on Sunday afternoon. We'll see. Anyway. Okay. So Josh, you started talking, and before I cut you off, kind of about his let's just go through, you want to say his post 19 track record. I have Raptors fans telling me that like 2021 to 2024 was when shit got bleak. And that they were still okay with some of the post Kawhi stuff. Why don't you walk me through the things that you find frustrating?
Yeah. So, you know, post Kawhi, they still are a pretty successful team. They win 53 games and make it to the second round. Mm-hmm. And then the bottom kind of falls out. I mean, the transactions that they make in this time, I mean, it's a combination of like inaction. And then when they did act, it felt like, well, what are we doing here? You know, it was clear that they needed to rebuild the team. You know, they lost in the second round, and then the next year they're 27 and 45 and it's kind of over, but then they come back and they win 48 games the next year and they lose in the first round, and they kind of waffled 41 wins after that. The biggest sin, and some people say that that's because ownership didn't want to pull the plug on a full rebuild, and that kind of hamstrung, people say that hamstrung Masai into doing the full teardown as soon as Masai wanted to do it, which led to him hanging on to OG Anunoby and Pascal Siakam for perhaps longer than he should have. And then the return for those trades were not as good as you might have expected. Like OG Anunoby, he traded, he gets RJ Barrett and Emmanuel Quigley, and Barrett's okay. You know, he's an okay player, and Quigley they give a giant contract to, and he's been, I mean, mediocre at best, and didn't even, you know, gets hurt all the time. Didn't even play in their first round loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers. They trade Pascal Siakam, which felt like kind of for cheap when they could have maybe moved him when his value was higher.
No, they didn't get any picks, right? Yeah. Or was that OG Anunoby?
OG Anunoby didn't get picks. They got Barrett and Quigley.
Which and then extended Quigley to probably one of the 10 worst contracts in the NBA.
Yeah, one of the worst. It's definitely a top 10 worst contract in the NBA. Yeah. They trade away a first, I think, to get Jakob Poeltl back from the Spurs. And I believe his big old extension happened after Masai left.
He had one extension that was probably reasonable, and that, because I think they drafted him.
Yeah, they did draft him, but still trading him.
Yeah.
It was still kind of weird that they traded for him, just brought him back at all, giving up a draft asset for him. The Brandon Ingram trade might be fair value kind of on paper, but if Brandon Ingram as a player is just more idea than actuality, and he doesn't seem like he translates very well to winning playoff basketball. And he, again, another guy that gets hurt all the time, and he was hurt in the first round series and wasn't able to play in the latter games of that series, and Toronto loses. So again, it's been kind of an aimless organization since like 2021, and they've handed out a lot of big, they're a really expensive team. They've handed out some big, big contracts even before the Poeltl one after Masai left. Like they're like, for this team to be as expensive as they are and not as young as you would think,
they're just
and they're not a contender. Like they lost in the first round and they've got like what, a top 10-ish? What is their payroll? It's a lot. Like they're an expensive team. They're seventh. I think they're seventh in payroll, it looks like, this year.
What were the Mavericks?
I think the Mavericks were like second. before the AD trade, I think they were.
Yes, that's right. That's right. The AD trade cleared up a bunch. That's right.
Yeah, yeah. They were 10th in payroll, it looks like, this season, which is a lot to lose in the first round. And they've only got like, you know, they got a handful of building blocks. Like his best basketball decision since 2019 has probably been the Scotty Barnes pick, which.
Great decision.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't really care for Barnes as a player. Like, I'm not like,
but that pick is aging better every season.
Great, great choice.
Especially when you look at the context of the rest of that draft. Mm-hmm. Good at the mark. Like, they made some smaller deals, but like, you could argue that, like, of if you had to like pick a, like, make a list of Masai's 10 worst basketball decisions, like, 8 of them have been since 2019. And we're like,
it's 2026.
Yeah, like we got it. Like at a certain point, the biggest question about this move is, can Masai still build a winning basketball team now, because he hasn't really been able to do it for almost 7 years now. Obviously, the team after the 20, you know, he's had some playoff teams since then, but in terms of like a sustainable winning team, I don't know. Like, it's just has the game, this is probably too harsh, but has the game passed him by? He was out of the league for a year. But these are not me trying to like shit on him. It's just like, hey, this is a what have you done for me lately league, results oriented business. He's going to need to get some results fairly soon.
You're just gassing me up.
I know. And yeah, like, you know, Brian's in the chat, you know, drafting Scott, like drafting Sheed, you know, Jacoby Walter. Yeah. Like those are good moves. And the one thing I will say, is hitting on the margins, which Masai seems to be pretty good at, is going to be very important for a Mavs team that isn't going to have a lot of wiggle room going forward with draft capital. So that's good that he can hit on those lower margin moves, but those moves aren't going to draft, you know, that's going to help, but they need some home run moves, and he hasn't hit a home run move in a while. It's been a while. So we'll see. And I think there's some healthy skepticism warranted. But there's obviously upsides to it too. Like he's built a championship team before. He's built that Denver team in 2013 was awesome. So we'll see. Now I'm gassing you up. So now what are you thinking?
Do you see my hat? Can you
read? I see your hat? You got your Brian Windhorst hat on.
It's my Brian Windhorst hat. It's my hater hat.
Okay.
Congratulations on making the sixth seed in the absolutely atrocious for 30 fucking years Eastern Conference shit show. Congratulations. Here's your award. Congratulations. You made cool draft picks that Draft Twitter likes. What the fuck did you win? Oh, you won the title that 1 year. That's a really awesome chip. And you throw that in my face every day. I agree with that one. But since then, it's been bad. And before it was bad because you built a team around DeMar DeRozan and Fred Van and Kyle Big Ass. What's his name?
Kyle Lowry.
Congrats. Like that's what you built. Like I'm not interested in this. And now the team that he built after the title was a bunch of 6'9 guys who can't shoot. Do you want to know what we just watched? A bunch of 6'4 guys who can't shoot. I just that's my hater hat. All right. I'm taking it off because I don't want to be a hater. I want the Mavericks to win. I will say though, I'm not really interested in. I'm very worried. I'm not worried. I'm not. Look, everything's on the ups right now. That's my hater element of this, where I'm looking at this and like, God, we're giving this guy so many cool points awards when the all-in move did work and that deserves credit. But then after that, you just weren't able to build anything. Now, let's flip this on the other side. I need a positivity hat. I don't have any positivity hats. I think Masai Ujiri never got to build around a top 10 pick. Kawhi Leonard is the closest thing. Kawhi was not a lottery pick. Or no, he was late lottery for the Spurs. I think Masai Ujiri having an opportunity to build around a top 10 pick, since that he never got that opportunity, is what made this job appealing to him. And that's fantastic. That's exciting. He does have a pretty good draft record, pretty dang good draft record. Like that's something that should be, we should be excited about that. Like somebody was joking in my mentions today that he was going to draft the guy, Nate. You don't know any of the draft guys yet, but there's a forward out of Tennessee, Nate Ament, that he was going to take Nate Ament with the 8 pick. And like, I would die. I just can't believe he's going to do anything like that. I think he's going to be, you know, my friend Josh McSwain in the chat says, I don't have any positivity hats. You don't say. Well, I really thought about putting on my fantasy football bucket here in the background, but that would you know, go out of the thing. So, I mean, there's like some real in the short term. If you're like, all right, how are they going to flip this? The fact that they got off AD cannot be understated, but there is still a ton of work to do on this team. Like just a ton of work. Like we keep talking, like Jason Kidd said something to the effect in his exit interview about how the building blocks are here. And I'm like, the building block is here. It's Cooper Flagg. Everyone else can go away. I had a friend from the Bucks text me today and say, get ready to hear Giannis associated with lots of Dallas stuff, because Giannis and Masai have like a history of friendly stuff. Like we you and I have talked about this. The, straight to the gulag if they trade for anybody over the age of like 25. Like, I'm just, I've, it's like, fuck it. Like, I'm not, no. They, no, no. They've done the hard part, but now it gets harder. And there's enough room. If even the pessimists among us should feel a broader sense of optimism about where the Mavericks are going. Where we were at this point last year compared to where we are now, meaning pre-lottery 2026 or 2025, to where we are right now is a just, it's a total, total 180.
Yeah. And like I said, I will stand on this point. If he cocks up every basketball move in the next 3 years, but he, but brings a sense of stability to the org and just kind of chills everything out, that's almost worth it alone. And almost the basketball moves are almost like the cherry on the sundae, which sounds ridiculous, but that's how bad it's been. I mean, like, we're worried about the health of the players because we don't think that they have a competent medical staff. Like, I just don't think that kind of Mickey Mouse shenanigans are going to happen under his watch. Are they going to be, is he going to build a good team? I don't know. And I don't think anyone can confidently answer because, again, it's been 7 years since he had his last really great successful team. But
the Mickey Mouse shenanigans is a key point. What do you, so this just allows for a real easy pivot to the question I have, and I think a lot of our chat has. Does Jason Kidd stay the coach?
I don't know. I would think.
I think
no.
So.
No? You think so?
Ooh, tell me why no.
Feels like two big, pretty big personalities there. I just don't know if they're gonna met, like two pretty big egos that were, that are being forced to work, you know, with each other. Like, I don't know. I don't know how that feels like a very combustible situation. So we'll see. He'll probably stay because, you know, he's got the contract and the Knicks have stabilized. So I don't know if they're gonna fire, like, I think he only leaves if he can go to the Knicks. And I don't think they're going to fire Mike Brown now that they kind of made it out of the first round. So,
but shout out to the commenters.
It's going
to
be odd.
The commenters reminded me that there's a poll option. So I just put that in the chat, and over the rest of the show, anybody that's actually listening, this might actually show that there's like 13 people listening to our show. That'd be terrible. But I think that's kind of, I would say yes. Like, Mark Stein reported he has 4 years left on his contract. And that, 4 years is a lot. Now, no. When you're, and it, what was particularly funny to me about that was Jason Kidd got himself extended 2 years in a row by basically being, hey, I'm hearing that Jason Kidd might be interested in this coaching position, only for the Mavericks to extend him twice. Yep. So that's fun.
Aren't you have to admit, even with your Masai skepticism, which again, I think is warranted, aren't you at least a little relieved that the Jason Kidd power play to become GM or whatever isn't going to come to fruition? Because you have to admit that probably kept you up a little bit at night, thinking that Kidd was going to Machiavellian himself to the head of basketball ops somehow.
It's a very fun one. I think, see, if Jason Kidd became general manager, he couldn't be coach. So there was a little bit of a plot. Like, there was like, it's like, well, which do you want?
But he would hire the coach.
Okay. But okay. I mean, it's like he couldn't do both. Like, he tried to do both at both of his previous stops and it didn't work.
No, you know? Not.
So that's sort of where I go. Like, the chat is now saying 69% of voters saying that they think he will be coach. 31% say no. I think this Knicks series and whether the Knicks make it to the finals or not is going to kind of really set the terms. The Knicks blew out the Sixers tonight, and they should coast to the conference finals. But if they don't make the actual NBA finals, I think there will be questions. I mean, realistically, like, as much as I had like earlier open questions about Ujiri, like, Kidd plus Ujiri, like, it just makes me a little. Like, are we building a modern basketball team? 6'5" to 6'9" guys who can't shoot isn't gonna work. But I just, Kidd drives me crazy because I think he leaves so much meat on the bone. Like, I don't think he's a bad coach. I think he misprioritizes how to win. Like, they made the finals and Luka was obviously the massive part in that. But Kidd, of course, is important, but they didn't value the regular season enough. They've never valued the regular season enough. That's the part that sucks for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
We didn't talk about anything else. I don't really think there's anything else to talk about.
I mean, what else is there to talk about?
Well, it's like, you know, we're going to talk about other stuff during the week. Again, guys, Wednesday, look for a show, probably starting about 8:30, 9 o'clock. Thursday, we'll do a live mock draft show. We're not talking prospect stuff at all. Like, I was looking at Nick and Isaac the other day, and they were really going through and, like, really getting into the guts of some of the prospects for the draft. And I'm just like, Josh and I'm like, Josh might know who Boozer is.
I know who his dad is.
I had to tell you today that your University of Kansas Jayhawks got the number one high school player in the nation to commit for next season. That was funny. I don't know. I don't want to overdo it. There's a real element in the off season to saying too much, and then for me at least, because I always say I say everything, lots of dumb shit. So I think we should probably just go ahead and call it quits right now. The poll is dead set at kind of a 67-33% that Jason Kidd will remain head coach, but that's very fun. Josh points out in the chat, kiss your moms on Sunday and pray to the draft gods. Very important, 2 p.m. Just can't stand that the NBA is doing that. Any other thoughts before you get out of Dodge?
No, looking forward to, I mean, the press conference for Masai is tomorrow. So we'll have some more nuggets there, and we'll be able to find out some more stuff.
Yep, we got a couple of things up in Mavs Moneyball. We got a couple more posts that I know they're going to turn it overnight. Our staff is about, I would say, mostly cautiously optimistic with like annoying concerns. I don't think you really have anybody that are like, this is the worst thing imaginable, which is good. We were pretty like that when Kidd was hired.
Yeah. No, that was bad.
We're the only one. And I don't mean that, like, that's just kind of the position we staked out. I remember a lot of our peers were like, Jason Kidd. Oh, well, life goes on. Okay, thank you so much for hanging out with us on part of your Monday night. We will all try to be back on Wednesday night after my kids' basketball practice. Everybody be good. We will talk to you soon, and go Mavs.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.